Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week by email, every Sunday. It's now in our fifth year of the newsletter, and we're also now in our seventh year on the air. And, by the way, don't forget the article, the feature article, actually both pieces, in the newsletter this week is all about being thankful and Thanksgiving and the origins of Thanksgiving. And so check that out. If you subscribe this week, you still got a chance to get that information. Rick Maurer is our guest, and he's a good friend of ours. He's a member of our Brain Trust. He's an organizational change consultant and a speaker. He helps companies deal with the changes that we're all facing, and helps them to do that without creating a casualty list. He's the author of a couple of my favorite books, Beyond the Wall of Resistance and Why Don't You Want What I Want? I love that title. He's our good friend, Rick Maurer. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Jim.
I say that all the time. Everywhere I go, I wind up saying, but wait, why don't you want what I want?
I know, and life's not fair.
No, it isn't fair. And you know, they look at me like, well, what's your problem? Of course, some of them don't say that because they know what my problem is, but they already know what my problem is. But anyway, change is one of the most fascinating elements in the marketplace, and it's never been more fascinating. I've been in the marketplace now, Rick. We haven't met, but I've seen your picture, and I think you've seen mine. And I didn't inherit any of my gray hair. I've earned all of them over the last few decades, and I've been around a while. And I have to say that I've seen a lot of changes in my career, but I've never seen change as interesting as it is right now. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Interesting is an interesting word to use. The pace of change. One, the pace of change, but also just the amount of change. I mean, I'll talk with my clients, and, you know, it's not like they're just trying to juggle a couple of balls. I mean, they just have way too many balls in the air.
Yeah, we talk about spinning plates and having too many hats to wear and juggling balls and everything. We use all those metaphors, and they're all accurate because life in general is more complicated and more intense these days than it used to be, and I'm not sure exactly why. I think it's because we have more options than we used to have. I think that's one thing. We've got more options for things to buy, more options for directions that we can go. And you know, options are a good thing, but they also create challenges, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do. And in the workplace, I agree with you. We have more options, and I think there's more pressure to feel like I better do something different, and I better do it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to start using your resources here and over there and over there and over there, and suddenly you've drained your resources, and none of these ideas that you got started ever get to completion. And you know, and if you're a small business or even a big business and you don't have deep pockets, I mean, you can go through a lot of money and at the end of the day say, and so what did I get for that?
Yeah. And you know, Rick, it used to be easier to stick to our knitting than it is today. But now with so many different things that we can knit, you know, so many different knitting options that we have, it's a little more difficult because we look around. And the one reason it was easier to stick to our knitting years ago was because whatever we were knitting was probably going to still be valid a year from now. But today, it's not like that, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah, and I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, there was a time that if what you were selling or what you were offering, I mean, you could kind of figure that next year and the year after that, I mean, it would still be there. My dad had a furniture store for most of his, you know, working life. And, I mean, year after year, I mean, it just, he knew who his competitors were. And, I mean, he would have had a very different business today with people going online to buy carpet and furniture. And and also people, I notice in my hometown, which is a little town in Ohio, that they're willing to drive much further to shop. And back when he was in business, people stayed at home.
That's right.
In fact, even crossed the border into the next town for some people. You just
That would have been an exodus for them, wouldn't it?
It would have, yeah.
Hang on to that thought, Rick. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Rick's been doing some survey work on change, and he's going to give us a report on what he found when we come back after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Rick Maurer is our guest and our good friend, the author of Why Don't You Want What I Want? And also Beyond the Wall of Resistance. And Rick, we desperately need to know how we can find your books and how we can find you online.
Okay. Best way to find the books and find me is our website, which is www.beyondresistance.com.
Okay. Beyond Resistance. Now, they can also find a lot of other things there besides your books and besides stuff about you. You've got articles and things like that posted, haven't you?
There's articles, there's assessment tools, and a lot of free stuff.
What do you mean by assessment tools? Tell us about that.
Well, let's say you're thinking about starting a change and you're wondering, is the timing right? It's a way of looking at the lay of the land. Are people overwhelmed right now? What's the history been of changes like this in the past? Ways of finding out people's attitudes toward the change, as well as just a lot of articles that can help people think about change.
And folks, if you get there and you like some of the things that Rick says, he'll be glad to help you if you want to contact him, and because that's one of the things that's what he does for a living, is he helps companies sort through the change, and as I said, to try to do it without creating a casualty list. Rick, you've been conducting some research on change, and I'd like for you to give us a little bit of a report on what you found.
Yeah, absolutely. As you just mentioned to your listeners, the focus of my work is helping people kind of get through change, and based on my observation, I make assumptions about what constitutes good change, and I thought, why not do a survey? Let's find out, are my assumptions kind of correct, kind of in a broad base, looking at big business, small business, government, all over the place. And fortunately, the assumptions I was making were borne out to be true. But there was a couple of places that I was really surprised. One thing that I've argued for a long time is that you need to make a strong case for change. The people need to understand why something is urgent before they're interested in talking about how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the notion of why before how. Well, what I found in the survey is that in successful changes, 95% of the people working in that company understood why a change was urgent today. Forget about what the change was going to be, but 95% said, wow, we've got to do something. I had no idea it would be that high.
Mm-hmm. 95, that is remarkable.
Yeah, and in the worst changes, the changes that people said made matters significantly worse, only 22% of the people saw an urgent need.
No ownership,
and I'll bet anything that 22% are the people who are the leaders of the organization. And what happens...
That's scary.
it's really scary, but what happens time and time again is that one small group of people, usually the leaders, have access to information about what's going on out there in the marketplace or, world conditions, and they get worried, and they institute a change, and nobody else in the organization sees that urgency.
And the thing is it doesn't mean, with those kinds of numbers, the change could have been the right thing. It was just that it turned out bad because it was deployed improperly.
Absolutely. And the big place where we could really increase our success rate is if we did a better job of making sure that people understood what the environment was like. And in fact, in better companies, they do that as a matter of course. And so when it comes time to make a change, people say, well, it's about time, rather than, oh, why do we have to do that?
So are you saying that let's say that I'm the boss and I believe I've been doing a lot more reading than my employees have. I've gone to a few conferences that they didn't get to go to, and I'm pretty darn sure that we've got to move in a new direction. You know, maybe it's a small direction change, maybe it's a major one, and I know that. There's no question in my mind that that's what's going to happen. But rather than dictate that, that maybe I get together with my folks, get their thoughts on it, tell them what I've learned, and then sort of let them reach that conclusion as we have our discussion, let them reach that conclusion on their own.
Not necessarily. What I would say is that if you've been doing a lot of reading and have gone to some conferences, you need to be passing that information along
right.
as you get it.
So don't wait for the meeting. Be giving it out all along.
Yeah, and in fact, give it out before you even think there might be a change needed. I had a client who headed an organization, and he typically would take 3-4 minutes at the end of meetings and say, this is what's on my screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be, he'd say, you know, down the road, they just opened a new blah, blah, blah. He said, I don't know if it's going to have any impact on our business at all or not.
Wonder what that might cost or whatever.
Exactly. And he's not trying to lead somebody somewhere. He's saying, as it comes up on my screen, I'm going to put it on your screen.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got a lot of people in the business starting to pay attention to things other than just their job. They're paying attention to the whole context. So then either when he comes up with an idea, or in this instance, people would come to him and say, hey, boss, look at our customer service scores. These are going down, and they shouldn't be.
Now people are taking initiative with ownership.
Exactly. And you find that time and time and time again, when people really understand the business, what drives the business, and the pressures they're under, and you give them enough freedom to make decisions, people start taking incredible initiative.
That is when it starts getting fun to be a manager. When you've got that kind of dynamic going on in your business, that kind of initiative being taken by your people, that's when it gets really exciting to be a manager. Rick Maurer, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 10 till. We'll be right back. More to come with our good friend, Rick Maurer. We're back. It's 7 till.
And you need a helping hand.
I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and one of the friends that we count on around here is our good friend Rick Maurer, the author of Why Don't You Want What I Want? And Beyond the Wall of Resistance, Unconventional Strategies that Build Support for Change. And both of these books are available wherever books are sold. Also from your website, Rick, and that's beyondresistance.com.
Right.
All right. Beyondresistance.com. Don't forget to go there, folks, and check out some of those little features that Rick has to help you with your change in your company. Rick, we've got more to talk about on this survey. You're going to be continuing to work through this, and I want you to come back and help us with some of the other things that you learn about the survey on change. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up before we go today on the survey?
Well, I think maybe we ought to just link it back to the first part of our conversation about how many plates are spinning.
Right.
And if we just take this one part of the survey, we're making a strong case for change. If we do a really good job of so that people inside our business understand why change is needed, or certainly what's going on in the marketplace, what are the challenges, what are the opportunities, then it's not just you, but it's everyone can say, all right, what are the changes that will be most helpful for us as we move forward, rather than saying, oh, we better try this, oh, we better try that, oh, we better try that. But you get a lot of people saying, okay, what's the big thing we need to be doing right now? What are the couple big things we need to be doing?
Could we say, Rick, that it's of paramount importance? Well, let's establish that the change is here, it's inevitable, and it's moving at a velocity faster than I've ever seen it before. So we understand,
yes.
We believe that. So we know in the year 2003, I'm sorry, in the year 2004, let's look ahead. We know in the year 2004 that we are going to have change. So as I, the manager, as I, the owner of this business, deal with this change with my people, my default position is going to be, if nothing else, that I deal with that change without making it look like we're panicking.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Shouldn't that be our fundamental thing to remember?
I think it's one of the fundamental things to remember. I think that would be a great one. The other is, if you can see on the horizon that something's going to need to happen, you need to start talking to people about the conditions kind of creating that need. You need to start talking about that as soon as you turn off the radio this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then you've got people thinking about it. You know, you're getting the ground ready for planting. But you can be worried, and then you come up with all these strategies. But if people still are in the dark, they're not going to get it. And if you pounce on them with this idea, they're going to go, well, where'd that come from? I never heard that before.
Yeah. Another thing that I think about is that whenever you're dealing with change all by yourself, you're like a one horse pulling a six horse wagon, and you're not going to get it done.
Yeah.
But if you've got folks working with you, if you've got employees, you've got a staff, you know, put them in the harness with you. I mean, this change is in this wagon, and it can't be pulled by one person.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And you got to put them in the harness with you, don't you?
You sure do. You know, and I think that more effective leaders understand that, and they say, yes, I'm going to be, you know, pointing the way most often, and I'm going to coordinate the stuff to make sure that we don't have too many plates spinning, but then let people take leadership on their part of the business.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're hiring good people, you ought to be able to trust them to do that.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, if you don't, folks, you'll lose those good people.
You're absolutely right.
Somebody else will get them. Well, Rick, you know, one of the things that you and I have proven today is that we are, in fact, the kings of metaphors. I mean, we got plates and balls and harnesses and wagons and hats. We did hats too, didn't we? Something else. We're the king of metaphor for this gentleman. Rick, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure, Jim.
Give us your website one more time.
Sure thing. It's beyondresistance.com.
Check that out today, folks. It's a good site. Whatever Rick does is top shelf. Thanks, Rick. We'll see you later. Have a good holiday.
Thanks, you too.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program really is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.